Okay, I'm going to kind of continue on the line of what Colin was saying. This group of kids and others like them, they are our future. They will. One day, if Jesus gives time, they'll be teaching Sunday school classes and keeping his local church going. And if we don't have a generation coming behind us, then we're failing the Lord, because he's told us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all things. He's told us as parents to raise the kids and nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to train them. Tells us to train a kid when he's young, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, some folks don't understand, between the time of training them and them growing old and coming back, they can give you a heap of trouble right in that gap. Now, I'm joking a little bit, but it's true. But you still have the promise of the Lord, if you train them right, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's what the scripture says. And how many testimonies of, it's too bad that sometimes kids have to grow up, go through a stage, and get older before they can get wiser. Right. But it is true. I'm going to be talking about us a little bit tonight. I'm going to talk to you on the subject, the vision lives on. I'm going to go to my favorite verse, one of them, in Proverbs. I want you to go with me, chapter 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, and you've heard me use this before. I go back to it for my own admonition sometime. Verse 18 of Proverbs 29 says, I'm still listening for your pages to get there with me, because I'm only going to read the one verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, in December of 1970, right around Christmas time, right close to Christmas Eve, I stood before a handful of people in the old church building over here. I mean, just a handful that night, better than usual maybe, because they'd turned out to see the few young people they had, three or four, trying to do the Christmas program, and they did all right. I came in that night to, because God had brought me, I guarantee he'd brought me, I wouldn't have been no other way, to tell the church that if they vote me in, I'd become the pastor. And that would have been Christmas time, December 1970. And my first official Sunday then was first Sunday in January of 71. And I use this verse, without a vision, the people perish. And God gave us a big vision in serving him. And in everything in life, we move by having a goal in mind. We move by having a plan on reaching that goal. And it's a real wasted life that don't see itself having a direction to go. Something to achieve, a cause, if you please, bigger than just eating and sleeping and enjoying life. We need a bigger cause than that. And so the Lord says, without a vision, without a direction, that we perish. And that is so very, very true. And then it, of course, compares it to following God's word when it says, but he that keepeth the law, and of course that's God's word, that he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to talk to you a little bit about things tonight. I'm upbeat about it. I'm enthused about some good stuff happening. And I want to give a short update. I don't know where you tap in to get your landmark gossip. I don't know that it's labeled as landmark gossip. It's really the devil's gossip. And sometimes it's about landmark, people just inventing things and saying things and all that. But I got to thinking about it. Here we are, Sunday after next, about to have back to school Sunday again. And I think about the very first Sunday that we designated back to school Sunday. We decided Sometime around the time school was out in May or June, what I'm talking about public schools, we decided that we had to start a Christian school. That only gave us one summer to get it done. And I'm talking about the facilities, I'm talking about the organization of it. And yet, we had our first back to school Sunday, whatever it was, end of August, I guess, back in those days, started a little later than it does now. And from that time on, we've had a Christian day school. And historically, from the very beginning, we had enthusiasm about it. We had a great need also. The need was, at that particular time, right here in the Haines City area, one or two killings had taken place in the public schools. A number of rapes had taken place. And while there was some cover-up going on some of that, and I was in a particular medical doctor's office that practiced here in town, and he said, "Preacher, let me show you something you haven't read in the newspaper." And he showed me the records of the different girls that had been violated, that had been brought to his office, and yet it had not made the news. It was a cover-up. And the medical doctor was fussing about that, which he had a right to. And of course, I had no such scruples about preaching against it. And I did. And I guess I stirred up quite a few things about that time. And I had some people, excuse this throat, had some people come to me, tell me, you're crazy, you can't start a Christian school. I said, why? Well, they had no clear reasons. I had one of the city inspectors come to me, said, "I don't know whether you can or not." He said, "You ought to go tell the commissioners about it." I knew some of the commissioners, and I didn't see none of their business, but I did, by the way, a lot of stuff, none of their business. Anyway, I went down there and I told them about it. I didn't go down and ask them, I told them. And they looked a little shocked, and one of them finally said, "Well, thank you for telling us." And they were good men. We have good ones and bad ones, I reckon, off and on through the years. But anyway, I had people come to me like that. And the one guy said, "It's against the law." I said, "What law?" He said, "I don't know, but there must be a law." Well, it wasn't, thank God. And so we got started. But it put us on the gossip vine, so to speak. It just didn't start recently. It does have more legs with Facebook and all that. I understand that. But the devil's always used that trick, always has. So we heard all that kind of stuff in the very history of our beginning of starting the Christian school. But we had great enthusiasm about it. Brother Pritchard and others, Brother Pritchard got saved about that time, and I remember asking for volunteer help. And we went to the public schools and bought their used beat-up desk, repaired them, painted them. We actually got their used books. Now, that wasn't so bad back then. They were the older books. Right. And you could even get fairly accurate history in some of them. And you could get old-fashioned math, which, by the way, still works. Right. And so we went and got all of that. I remember making more than one trip. I remember borrowing my brother's truck, driving over to Brevard County to a big public school warehouse, loading it down with desks and some books. And I was living in the house here behind the church, and I parked it just about dark, run in to get supper, and was going to come back and unload it, but when I got back, somebody stole it. And we hunted for about 2 days before we didn't find the truck in 2 days, but we found where they'd gone up to Davenport and pushed all the desks off in one of those sand mines that had water in the bottom, so they ruined everything. A whole wasted load and whatever money I paid for it. Later on, the highway patrol found the young man that had stole it. He'd wrapped it around a post or a tree somewhere up around Brooksville. That's another story. But the devil fought from the beginning like that, various things. But we didn't quit. We just had the zeal and the enthusiasm and the faith that God wanted something done, and we had a vision to do it for him. That's what it boiled down to. And You know, we had great growth. We were growing by faith because we was doing things by faith. So what does that mean? It means a lot of things we had never done before. A lot of things that we had to figure out how to do. And to trust God, of course. And we still do much of that. And yes, we had some fights come along a few years down the road. We'd gotten much stronger and grown pretty fast. And Jimmy Carter was president. And the IRS did what they're doing today. They started attacking conservative movements. So they jumped on the Christian school movement because it was growing across the country like a wildfire. And I discovered, and why God let me discover it, I don't know, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I've told it before. Somehow or another, I read the Federal Register. Now, nobody reads that. That's duller than Shakespeare. That's bad. Federal Register. What that is every word that is said in Congress and up there to the politicians is placed in that thing. And all the bills and all the laws they're trying to introduce. By the way, when you see on, if you ever do that, if you ever park long enough on C-SPAN on TV, and you see a guy up there just going to town, they hardly ever will scan the audience because there's nobody in the audience. He's just up there filibustering, and much of the time there's no crowd out there in front of him at all. But all he's saying on that microphone is going to go, it is going to be recorded. That's why Hillary is in trouble now with her server. I think if you could get a hold of her used server, you could start a gossip sheet and get rich, amen? I'm playing now. Anyway, somehow I got a hold of the Federal Register, and I saw that they had brought in, was trying to make a law to close down the Christian school movement. They had voted on it twice. The third vote, it would have been enacted. It was to be enforced by the IRS. I discovered it, began to check on it a little bit, found out it was true. I had the actual Federal Register. And sitting back there in that little office, Linda Tyler was my secretary. We went to work, and back when stamps were cheap, I don't know how much, but they were not much. In one day's time, we sent out $500 worth of stamps and direct mail everywhere we could to every preacher in every Christian school that we knew about. We were the Paul Revere of warning them, the IRS is coming. And so it caught attention. And to shorten the story, we wound up with about 2,000 preachers and full-time workers going to Washington, D.C. for a week and facing off with the IRS. Now, by law, they had to give us a hearing. And if you ever seen a church take a vote and say something like this, I'll make a motion and somebody discuss it and then vote on it, well, they had to have this last discussion period, and that's what we got in on before that third vote. Boy, did we ever have a time, and sometime I've told some of the stories, but we were there from 9 o'clock in the morning, often till 9 at night, sometime 10 at night. The IRS had never seen anything like it. They had got into a hornet's nest because we had rallied the troops, so to speak. And it was quite interesting. Jimmy Carter was running, Ronald Reagan started running against him. And that fight was going on at the same time. And we went out to Texas and had a preacher's meeting, and Ronald Reagan, not president yet, met with us. And he told us out there in that meeting, if I can get elected, I'll fire the IRS commissioner. And I will stop that law in its tracks. Well, we done everything we could to get him elected, and thank God he got elected. And when the polls began to show that Reagan was going to win, the IRS commissioner resigned. Now, that was good. I'd have preferred he'd done what Judas did. But anyway, resigning was acceptable. And got him out of there. Amen. So anyway, all that had to do with the Christian school movement. All across the country, we fought that battle. And by God's grace, we won it. Now, the devil, you never knock him down and keep him down. He keeps bouncing up. He's bouncing up now. He bounced up against the Tea Party with the same kind of stuff and all that kind of business. All that's part of it. It's going to be. But now in the latter years, we've seen change. And the devil, like he was in the Garden of Eden, he's subtle. More subtle than any beast of the field, the Bible says. That means he's smart. That means he's a deceiver. It means he's going to move in ways to trick you. And that's, of course, you know that's going on. Now, in the latter years, we've seen change, good and bad. We fought not only federally, we fought here in the state for any church that wanted to have a church school, homeschooling. We fought for the freedom of all of it. Right here in Tallahassee through the years, we fought for that. And sometimes the battles raged harder and hotter than other times, but it's been there all the time that we had to do that. Now, in winning the freedom for any church to have a school, in a sense, it hit us because there was a time we were running 350 students. But then you got churches that had 25 students here and 40 students over there. So the next thing you knew, it was cutting down into our enrollment some. No doubt about it. I didn't mind that. We've kind of been the, a little bit like the King James Bible, we're the measuring stick for others to measure by. And they did, and that was good. And so we've now seen, since then, some of those schools have grown pretty big, and then some of the people that was able to muster the money up have started some very bigger and more elite schools. At the time we opened our school, we were the second school in the county, Christian school. Lakeland Christian was first. And I sat on the board with some other preachers. I was not a preacher then, I was a deacon, and my pastor sat on the board, and I sat on the board when it was voted on to start Lakeland Christian School. And I'm glad we did, and it's been a strong school ever since. But anyway, from being two schools in the county, there's no telling how many Christian schools now, if you count all the different ones are in the county, and that's a good thing. But that alone did cause us to not maybe have as much enrollment. Here's what it boils down to. Christian schools only exist when there's Christian parents that have values that's big enough to put their kids in for the difference, and the difference is big. To pull them out of a brainwashing situation, and you've heard me preach on it so many times, two mommies, two daddies, homosexual agenda, atheistic stuff when you can't have the Bible in and prayer and all that, all those issues. Now, when those issues became apparent back in the 70s and early 80s, here was the difference. Christian parents got offended at those issues. They were shocked by them. They said, some way or another, I've got to get my kid out from that. But here's the change, folks, and this is a sad change. They've got used to the evil. They've accepted the status quo. And sin seems to me no longer sinful like it used to be. And that's sad. If that kid was precious back in the 70s, parents ought to look the same way with the same values on them now. But I've seen that change, and one of the sad things I've seen as being an older preacher now is I've seen the culture not only change, but I've seen the parents and the adults go with the culture where they used to go against it. And that's a big, big difference. And that's our present times. Now, here in the last 3 years, we had, and I want you to think about it like this. I told somebody at the door not long ago, they'd found some of that garbage on the internet where we'd had Satan had been able to hit us with two missiles about a year apart that hurt bad. And they asked me about it. I said, yeah, it's true. We were against it, didn't know it was going on. It was a big shock to us. We went 40 years without that. Can we get any credit for that? We went 40 years before the devil was able to find a crack in our armor. He did find a couple of cracks, and it's hurt, and it's still hurting. And so it hurt real bad at the time, and while it was a shock to me and to you, I'll tell you what was a greater shock to me, in a sense. The greater shock was how many people almost cheered that it happened, was almost happy that finally that church down there that preaches all those high standards finally got caught, like we'd been doing that undercover all the time. That was a shock to me. Even bigger than that was some of the folks that seemed to applaud was church members. And that hurt, and hurt bad. Hurt bad that people that would sit and look at me and listen to me, many of them for years, would suddenly say, all the time, we didn't trust you. All the time, we thought you had a skeleton in the closet, and now here it comes out, and Ray, Ray, Ray. And some of the doomsayers said, well, that school will close now. That church will fall now. And you know what? Some of them have been greatly disappointed it hadn't happened, that they made a wrong call. And they're sad. Gossipers, gripers that want the worst to happen to you. Listen to me. Anybody that's saved, anybody that believes this Bible, you and I ought to be able to cheer when they do good. Amen. And when God blesses them.
Amen.
And never, when something bad happens to them, cheer for the devil that got them. Amen. Say, preacher, that really happened? Sure did. When I was over in Russia, and talking with them about the persecution, of course, mostly from the communist government, and when the pressure would be on, and like all the church, all through history, if you read it, there were times when under Rome and other times when the persecution was lax or less. And then when it fired up again, up and down, and it still works that way through history. And that's you know, happened with us and with every ministry. But over there in Russia, they said this to me. They said, when the persecution come, preacher, and I'm talking about preachers, that spent from 10 to 20 to 30 years in jail for nothing more than being a gospel preacher, having a Sunday school. Truthfully, that was the underground Baptist in Russia. But here's what I heard from more than one, and this is what they said. They said, preacher, when the test comes, when the devil breaks through, when it really, the test is there, the pressure's on, here's what they said. They said, you'll be surprised who will stand with you and who won't stand with you. Said, sometime the one that you never expected will stand the strongest. And the ones that you thought would always stand with you and back you, they're the ones that caved in, sold out, in some cases even become a witness against that church. That's terrible. Folks, that's history, though, if you read it. Fox's book is Martyrs. You want to check it up. Just get that one and read some of those sad things. So I did have that shock. I was shocked that we lost support, that critics come out of the woodwork more than they did and made the predictions they did. Well, the school will close. You know, the preacher's, he's old. He'll leave. Hey, by the way, I had an agreement with God a long time ago that I wanted to be like Moses. Check out how long he lived. Bible says he was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, and his natural force was not abated. I said, how can you quote that? Because I've been claiming it for about 100 years. Yeah. Amen. I'll settle for less than that. But that's up to God. That's up to God. And I leave it up to him. Amen. But I want to change gear just a little bit and say, thankfully, my critics have been wrong. Amen. We haven't closed. We're bouncing back. I did a lot of praying about it. And I felt like that God said, give me a chance at it. Amen. And this last year, because of the faithful support of you people in Landmark Baptist Church, we were able to keep the school open all year, have a good year. I never had a teacher that didn't get their salary that was promised to them. Now, every Christian school can't say that. And thank God for faithful folks that have stuck by sometime when they couldn't get a paycheck. But God's always allowed our teachers to get one. He's always done it. He's done it through his local church. He's done it. Others have closed because they could not stand to go in the red as deep as the Christian school was pulling them in. And I understand that. But I always felt that it was a ministry like the bus ministry that God would bless if we give him a chance and step out by faith. And he's done that. And he's done that for us. And no doubt about that. Now, I prayed a lot about it. I believe God's in it. I know this, and I wish this was not so. It's harder now. It's harder, going back to what I said a while ago, because parents are tolerating less values than they used to. And I'll have trouble this year, probably, because I'm going to come down hard on cell phones. I got to. Who could have imagined, now let's make a shock example here. Who could have imagined in, say, 1970 or early 80 that kids could hold a little picture box in their hand and exchange pictures of themselves in the nude? Hey, I'm glad you just heard about it, whoever it was said that. It's been going on a long time. And we've had it happen here. I have preachers tell me on this last preacher's trip, and of course, I fuss about it more than them. I had a couple of preachers tell me, I got people sitting in the congregation watching the movies on their camera while I'm trying to preach. And there's people done it right here in these pews. And some of you'd be mad at me if I spotted them and hollered at them. By the way, if I spot them, I will holler at them. Yeah. And then some of you get mad at me. I've made this little joke before, and it's not much of a joke no more. I've said the devil could join the church on Sunday, and I could find out about him on Monday, vote him out the next Sunday, and he'd take some folks with him, and they'd be saying the preacher was too hard on him. That's the age we moved into, folks. It's the age we moved into. It's crazy. Now, I'm saying this. I'm looking forward to a good year. Amen. I told the teachers up there in the meeting tonight, at this point right now, we're 40 to 50, if not more, students above what we ended the school year with last year. Amen. And that is going the right direction. Amen. No, it's not where it used to be in our best days, but it's going the right direction. And I have a theory. It's more than a theory. I believe it's scriptural truth that what worked that was right with God in the old days will still work today if we do it the same way. And we are. And every now and then I hear, well, nobody's going to go down to that church because they got a dress code down there. Well, let me put it this way. God had a dress code in the Garden of Eden. He still got one. Now, you may come down here wearing your high heels from your ears. I don't care. You just won't serve if you do in this place. You won't sing in the choir. All right, I got off on that. I'll just give you a hard time if you don't do right. Amen. But, no, you can come to my church almost any kind of way, and you see that people do that. But bless God, if you meet Jesus, he's going to change the way you live. You're going to become a new creature in Him. Things are going to get different. And you're going to have a power inside to know what is right and wrong.
Amen.
And then a power to do right over wrong.
Right. Amen.
That's what Jesus does for you when He gets inside. Amen. I'm looking forward to this year. Enrollment is up. We're going to have some new staff. You'll see a few new folks around here. And we're thankful God sent them. By the way, one of the gossip things was He won't get nobody to teach down there. Well, I got news for you. The resumes have been coming in, and God has supplied, and we're going to be full up staff-wise. And while you're saying amen to that, I want to say what else we're going to do. We're going to ask you to give some more. That stopped the amens, didn't it? Listen to me. The first back-to-school Sunday we ever had, we had to have a special offering. I mean, we had to have it to open the doors on that Monday school started. Now, we're not that desperate, but we need it. I'm having to bring in staff. We're having to do things. And I'm going to ask you this Sunday to give extra. This coming Sunday. Then the next Sunday will be back-to-school Sunday, and I want you to do it again. 2 weeks. Now, this is not a desperation thing. We're going to make it. But if you want to get in and get in on God's blessings and get in on something you believe in and something that's real and something that's good, here's your chance.
Amen.
Do something extra. If it's a dollar extra, that'll help. If you can do more than that, it'll help more. But I'm asking you to do that starting this Sunday and next Sunday. And I don't know where this thing's streaming tonight or not. I guess the tape room could tell me. By the way, I've been getting some nice notes, phone calls from people that's watching us several states away. So it's not just what's happening inside these walls that God is blessing.
Amen.
He's blessing in other places. So I'm going to ask some of you out there online tonight if this is going, and I don't know. I'm technologically retarded. You know that. But I don't know where it is or not, but if it is, I want you to send something in extra. I really do, because we need to start off good. We really do, and we need to help, and do what God would lay on your heart to do. And I pray that you will. Pray that you will. We praise God for the good spirit we have. Everybody working so hard to get things ready. And I just believe we're going to have a good year. We had a good year last year. This is going to be much better. We actually have had a couple of classrooms we've had to cut it off. Now, that's been a while since we've had the place that we couldn't take anymore in certain grades. So that's God's blessing. Amen. And so I'm a little bit like D.L. Moody. He said one time in his preaching, he said, "You may read in the paper one day that Moody is dead." He said, "Don't believe it. I'll be more alive than any other time." And I want to say to you, you might hear on Facebook, "Landmark's not going to make it. They're liars. We're doing great. And God is blessed."